This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
A very good afternoon to all of us. If you are here, please can I hear good afternoon to all of you? Good afternoon, yes. The Bible says that I was glad, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And if there is any place to find refuge, freedom, liberation, it's no other place but the house of the Lord. Amen. We want to start with an opening song before the announcement. And if you don't mind, for those on Facebook, forgive me, but we welcome you to today's service. It's always nice to have you join us. And for those over here, if you don't mind, we want to rise up and lift up a song of praise unto the name of the living God. The song is just a confession saying that we will worship God for who He is. Is that not awesome, to worship God for who He is? And so I want you to come out of yourself and burst out of praise, even as we all sing this song together. I'd want to say a prayer before we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this opportunity one more time to come under your presence and to receive from you. Father, we want to present our praise and our worship to you at this moment. And we ask that may our hearts be filled with praise, with joy, that we can declare who you are today and what you have done in our lives. Amen.
Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, Healer, Redeemer, and friend. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. And I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, Healer, Redeemer, and friend. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. And I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. My soul secure, your promise sure, your love endures always. My soul secure, your promise sure, your love endures always. My soul secure, your promise sure, your love endures always. My soul secure,
Basically, the scripture which came to me was Psalm 8, the whole of Psalm 8. And the whole of Psalm 8, David is making a prayer to God and expressing how great and marvelous God is and how great his works are. But most importantly, he focused on himself and asked God that who is man? Basically, who are we as human beings that he is so mindful of? And that is one of the wonderful things which we can appreciate God for as human beings, how he made us. And so I want you to join us whilst we sing of his great name and also say the very words of David saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So we want to take a few moments. You just want to close your eyes and reflect on how majestic and how excellent God is, even as we sing the worship songs.
Heaven.
Declaring the great name of the Lord, we want to declare how worthy is His name. And for me, when I think about the worthiness of God, I think about how my life was wretched once upon a time, and how He came and He changed and made me anew. And that makes me always say, indeed he's worthy, when I look at the book of Revelation. And I want you to just declare within yourself how worthy the Lord is. So worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Lord, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. So worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. It was my cross you bore, so I could live. In your freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve praise. Worthy is your name. Lord, worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve praise. Worthy is your name. So, Father, we want to give you all the praise, O Lord. We want to give you all the worship. And all the power and all might belongs to you. Indeed, you alone are worthy of our praise. There is no one else that we can render our praise unto, but except for you, Lord. So we say, receive your praise, for you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord. For the last time, we want to sing, worthy is your name.
So worthy is your name. Name Jesus, you deserve praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. And you deserve our praise. We thank you, Father. Indeed, you are worthy of our praise. You deserve all the glory, and we worship you. We thank you for your presence. Disseminate that you are here, reigning among us. And we thank you for the visitation. I pray as we gather here to listen about what you are sharing with us,
that you will speak to every one of us. May you speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. We do not want to hear anything but that which is from you. I pray in the name of Jesus, may you use me as a vessel that I may speak to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, my name is Urbanus, and today I have the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. I come from Kenya, and I thank God for the opportunity. Today I want us to talk about hearing the voice of God. It's an amazing topic. I like it. So we will go through some scriptures. It's a very wide topic that cannot be covered in a single session, but I'll try to just talk about the elements that I felt that I should share with us today. And to begin with, this is a topic that is not explored in many modern churches, because they have quenched the Holy Spirit. Most of them are religious, and they only talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God who was speaking long time ago, but doesn't speak today. Or particularly say he speaks to maybe the pastor alone, and then the pastor will bring the message to us. But God is speaking, even now, to every one of us, if you can listen and understand when he is speaking. He's always speaking. So let nobody lie to you that God was speaking through the prophets long time ago, but he's not speaking today. And I want us to start with a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1. That says beginning scripture in Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So this scripture cancels that narrative. God was speaking long time ago to our forefathers, but today he is speaking to us. You remember when Jesus died, the cloth that always hung on the door of the temple broke apart, and we were given power to enter into the Holy of Holies, you and me. So it became that it was not an affair of the high priest alone to enter the place where historically they would meet God. But everyone had access to the place of the dwelling of God, in quotes. So it was through Jesus that we are able to access God by ourselves, me and you. And I know the biggest question that most believers ask themselves is, but how do you know when God is speaking? Does he speak to all of us in the same way, or does he speak to us differently per individual? And I want to read a scripture which I found very interesting in 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 to 13. This was Elijah, or if you want to say Elijah, I don't know how you pronounce it. When he was fleeing away from Jezebel, and he ran to a mountain. And the Bible says, and he said, that this is the Lord speaking to Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And beyond, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave and beyond. There came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So it was amazing. He has mentioned several things. There was a strong wind. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. And in all those things, the Lord was not there. But then he says there was a gentle whisper. And when this man heard it, he knew that was the Lord. So does it mean like if there is a fire, there is a mountain, there is an earthquake, the Lord is not there? I'm not interested in knowing that. But I like the response of Elijah. When he heard the gentle whisper, he rubbed his face because he realized that was the Lord who was speaking. So the Lord does not speak in one unique way to you, to me. There are different ways of speaking. But what happens when he speaks? Do you invoke a response? Do you realize it even? That is the thing. So this guy knew the way the Lord was speaking to him. Do you realize how the Lord speaks to you? That's a question that I have to you. Does he speak to you through scripture or through dreams, through visions, through preachers like me who stand before you to preach? How does he speak to you? Ask your neighbor how the Lord speaks to him. And don't feel ashamed if he hasn't spoken to you yet. Because the heart of the Lord is that he may speak to each of us. You do not carry God for someone else. I have a wife, but I can hear God for her, but I do not carry God for her. I can pray for her, but the Lord has a personal relationship with her. I want us to look at some of the ways through which the Lord speaks to us. And I will be very brief, very brief. Some of the ways through which the Lord speaks to us. And I highlighted only four. There are many ways. And one is through his word, the spoken word and the written word, and through the Holy Spirit, through visions. Sorry, I meant to write through visions and dreams. Then I wrote visions and visions. Sorry. I was doing this sermon late at night. And through other believers, those are the prophets, evangelists, preachers, worshippers, musicians, talk of them, through experiences. And the last one is a really painful one. So, and I want to start with through this word and the Holy Spirit. And my appeal to you, even before we talk about this, is that we do not quench the Holy Spirit. And don't live a life that is devoid of the Holy Spirit, whereby you never even recognize that the Holy Spirit is there. Or you recognize that he's there, but you have never made a step of faith to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The journey of salvation, the journey of faith is too difficult without the Holy Spirit. If you are doing things on your own volition, then it's too difficult. I can attest to this because I once lived a life without the Holy Spirit. You try to do things to please God according to your strength, and it doesn't work out. And the Holy Spirit was given to us, and the promise was even made long time ago through the prophets. And one of the prophets who talks about the pouring of the Holy Spirit was Prophet Joel. The book of Joel 2, 28 and 29, and says, "And shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit on all flesh." Mark the word, all flesh. So, not on the pastors, not on the worshippers, all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Even on your male and female servants. God was speaking to Israel, the chosen nation. And today we are the chosen, the bride of Christ. And he was saying, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. Even those who look like they are not important. He says, he will pour his spirit. You can also find this in Acts chapter 2, when Peter quoted this scripture in verse 17 to 18. All flesh. So, and I tend to think when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, he told her, God is spirit. And God is looking for worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. So is it possible for a natural man to commune with a spiritual God? And we know that birds of the same feather flock together, right? So it's difficult. In your natural self, it's difficult to please a God who is spiritual. To understand the things of the Spirit, you need the Spirit, he knew. Your spiritual man needs to wake up. And if you don't receive, if you don't request, your spiritual man will always be asleep. And we will see later on the dangers of that. And this scripture you can find in John chapter 4, 23 to 24, which says, but the hour is coming and now is here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We really need the Holy Spirit to touch the heart of the Father. Corinthians, when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians in chapter 2, he said, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Simple and clear. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The way God works is through his Spirit, and it's difficult to even understand. It doesn't make any sense to the natural man. I mean, I imagine the example of Rene. They were having a great life in South Africa. And then the Lord telling them to sell everything, come plant a church here. And it's a church of, they started with, I think, the two of them there, a lady called Eunice. So there's no even, the money is not there. So you are selling everything to come to start as a pauper. Doesn't make sense, right? So not unless you have the Holy Spirit to convict you, you will tell the Lord, I'm not doing this. It doesn't make sense. And these are the questions every one of us is usually asking when you try to understand the things of God by yourself. Doesn't make sense, right? So we need the Spirit of God to discern and know what is the whole will of the Lord in the whole particular matter. And this makes me remember something. My wife and I were looking for a job. So we had two opportunities, one in Den Bosch. And when we applied and then went through the interview process, I felt that one, it is. So we were waiting. And then she finished everything, and then they usually call you for coffee to meet the people in the department. And it happened that there was one job in Amsterdam and another one in Den Bosch. The one in Den Bosch was a full-time and a long-term contract. The one in Amsterdam was part-time. And then, in myself, I felt that the one in Den Bosch makes more sense. And then, I remember on that Thursday, I was praying Because I know I am strong-willed, so if I want something, I'll really go into the side that I want. So we were praying and telling the Lord, take away the one which is not in your line. And then when she talked to the people at Den Bosch, they came with a response. The way we looked at you, you looked like you are not interested in what we have in our department. And she got the other one. And then I was so shocked that the party time, what does the Lord? And this morning when I was praying, really, the Lord spoke to me and told me, my wife needs to go into that company, and he's sending her with one mission, to pray for the people there. So it doesn't make sense in the natural self, but when you think about it in a spiritual way, and the Lord reveals it to you, he always has a mission behind why he's doing something. And it is up to us to unearth by prayer, by asking, what is it that you want me to do at this particular moment, at this particular season? I want to end there for the Spirit and the Word of God. I think the last time we shared about the Word of God, and that is plain and clear. You are digging into Scripture, and then the Lord laid something in your heart so strongly. And then you understand and sense that he is speaking to you. I want to go to dreams. And not another dream, you know. Not any dream. You can have some nice pizza, you feel comfortable, and then you start dreaming. It might not be a godly dream. I'm talking about godly dreams. And a dream is God dropping a revelation to you when you are deeply asleep. And we see in the Bible, in the Scripture, God speaking to so many people through dreams. And I only want to highlight the example of Joseph, the father of Jesus. When God was warning him in a dream to take Jesus and flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill him. He also warned the wise men who came to Jerusalem. And I will start reading from verse 7. And Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring word that I too may come to worship. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So these are the wise men who saw the star of Jesus. The Bible says they were from an eastern country. I don't know which one. And then they followed the star because they knew when you see the star, a king has been born. So they went directly to Jerusalem. And then I think Herod, who was king that time, heard there was another king who was born. So he wanted to kill him. But he was disguising himself. I want to go and worship. And then these are men who are sensitive in the spirit. God tells them, do not go back to Herod. Go home directly, but use another way. And verse 13 says, now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now the father was Joseph. The Lord appears to him, tells him, flee away. Herod wants to kill the child. So it was the Lord speaking through a dream. It can be a warning. It can be a message that you need to pass to another person. It can be a message of hope. Or it can be a message when you want to make a decision. And then he appears to you in a dream. And brothers and sisters, Don't ignore dreams, please. So if you have a dream and you feel it's really strange, it's better to write it down and pray about it. Maybe the Lord is giving you a warning, or maybe the Lord is communicating something to you. And we see even some dreams which were spoken about years back, and then they happened later on. And an example is then Joseph, the son of Jacob, in Genesis 37. And Joseph had a dream, and when he told to his brothers, they hated him even the more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I dreamt. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even the more for his dreams. So he told them, it was symbolic of one day you guys will worship me. And these guys were taking it for granted. And then we see later on in Egypt, when he becomes the governor, they come to him and they bow to worship. And when he tells them, they were so surprised. So it's important that we take dreams seriously. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to us behind the scenes. And the other one is visions. Visions. And a vision is different from a dream. A vision is something, it's an open revelation that you see when your eyes are open. Or they may be closed, but it's not when you are sleeping. That's what I mean. When you are awake, it's a vision. And normally when we say, if you saw a picture, you can come and share. That is a vision. That someone sees a picture, an image that the Lord sends with a particular message he wants to communicate. So I know a lot. I know Renee works in that revelation a lot of open visions. Also Derek. So it's a message that the Lord wants to communicate. And I picked one that the Lord showed a vision to Abraham when he wanted to communicate something in Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your great, your reward shall be very great." And Abraham said, "Oh God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household to be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." So this is a childless man who has been trusting the Lord for a child. And then the Lord appears to him in a vision, tells him, "Fear not. This is the message that I have for you. It doesn't matter your present situation. I have a plan. I have a plan for you." The other one I quoted from the New Testament is from Acts chapter 18, verse 5 to 6, and then I skip to 9 and 10. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And then verse 9 says, "The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have in this city many who are my people.'" So he was heartbroken. The people were rejecting his message. Then he said, it's your problem. Now I move to another place. And then the Lord said to him, I have many people in this city. And if you think about evangelism, we really need to hear the voice of God in such a hard ground like Utrecht, where people don't even want to have a conversation. We need to hear the voice of God. When the Lord speaks to you or lays it in your heart that you speak to a particular person, that you may respond and speak to that person. But how will you know if you don't understand how the Lord speaks to you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit? So doing things out of our own strength is one good recipe for disappointment. So let us do the work of the ministry by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by hearing what the Lord wants us to do perfectly. And it is for everything. I remember a time we were just talking with a brother. Then we were asking, should we always trust God for everything, even like the color of the shirt that you should wear for that day? We had different arguments, like the Lord has given you wisdom to decide. But then one brother had an interesting opinion, like the Lord might tell you to wear a red shirt because he has instructed another person somewhere, like a person with a red shirt will come to you. When you see that red shirt, then know that that's the person I have sent to you. So the Lord is always working behind the scene for his own glory. So even, and I am learning nowadays to trust the Lord, even for the smallest of the things, that he may show me in direction. And it really helps you to live a life that you don't struggle. And the other one is through other believers. I said prophets, evangelists, and authors. And I only picked one from Isaiah 38. It says, in those days, Ezekiel became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. And verse 4 says, I won't read the 3, but you remember that he went back to pray and told the Lord, please add some years to my life. You know what I have done, this and this. And then verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah again. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. So he's a prophet who is being sent to go and communicate a message. And we also have prophets here who come at particular times to speak a message that the Lord has shared. It might be a particular message to a particular person, might be for the overall church. But nonetheless, it is the Lord who is speaking. And the last one I want to share is through experiences. Through experiences. Something happened, and then you never realize it, and then later you realize it was the Lord who was speaking. And I took the one about Balaam in Numbers 22. Verse 28 says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me 3 times? Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, then I would kill you. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Is it my ambition to treat you this way? And he said, no. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn. So this guy was spiritually asleep. He could not realize when the Lord was speaking to him. And the angel was, because he was called to go and bless a foreign nation, but the Lord was not for the blessing. So the guy decides to still go, and the Lord was giving warnings until the Lord spoke through Antange. And the Lord had to open his eyes to see the angel of the Lord. So it's really terrible. It's really terrible. It's important that we open our spiritual eyes. And as I am coming to a close, I want us to look at the entrances to hearing the voice of God. And we have looked at the Holy Spirit. So if you quench the Holy Spirit, it will be difficult for you to understand when the Lord is speaking. Also, if you don't pray, prayerlessness, how will the Lord speak if you are not making an effort to have a conversation? And the other one is lack of the knowledge of the word of God. So sometimes the Lord is speaking directly to you. And I want you to understand that the revelational word of the Lord that he gives you for a particular season cannot contradict what is written in the scripture. So you need knowledge of the scripture so that you will understand it's the Lord speaking, or other people, or your mind. And then compromising on holiness. I'll read this scripture. 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So the Lord is holy. He requires us to be holy. So it's an higher calling that we need to be holy. The Lord can speak to us. The Bible says that his eyes are too pure to be beyond sin. So if there is sin, then there is an alienation from God. And if there is separation, then there is no conversation. So it's my desire that we be holy. And the other one was lack of faith. We were taught about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Good. And the last bit, the danger of failing to hear the voice of God. And I want us to note something. But there are always many voices that speak to us. Your voice, the voice of people, and the voice of the enemy. So if you can't understand to differentiate whether it is God speaking or your own will or the will of others or the enemy, then there will be a lot of confusion. You may take something thinking that it is Lord who is speaking, but it is the enemy who is leading you to and destruction. And I will read this scripture and then we will finalize. It's an interesting one. I want us to look at two scenarios. The scenario of a king called David and another king called Ahab. And I am reading from, I will first read from 1 Samuel 30:1-8. 1 Samuel 1:30-8. I don't have it on the slides, but you can open your Bible in case I pronounce something the way you are not used to, but you can follow. I want us to start from verse 3 for the sake of time. When David and his men reached to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Hinnom of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. That was a priestly garment. Bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" And the Lord said, "Pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in your rescue." So he wears the priestly wood garment and he goes to the altar. He's asking the Lord, "Should I do it? Should I not?" And the Lord gives him a green light. "You should do it." And then 1 Kings 22. I want to start from first. This was a king called Ahab. He wanted to know whether he should go to war or he should not go to war. And then he called all the prophets together. And from verse 6, he said, "So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, 'Shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?' And they answered, 'Go, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand.' But Jehoshaphat," this was the king of Judah, "asked, Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?' The king answered Jehoshaphat, 'There is still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah." And verse 9 says, "So the king called one of the officials and said, 'Bring Micaiah to me at once.'" Okay. And verse 10, I wanted to skip it, but it's interesting. "Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their throne at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with the prophets prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenan, made iron horns and declared, 'This is what the Lord says: With this you will go the Arameans until they are destroyed.' And the other prophets were prophesying the same thing: 'Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious. The Lord will give it into the king's hand.' And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah came and said, 'Look, the other prophets without exception are predicting success for the king.'" These guys were really manipulative. "Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." And Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me." And I like this response. If you are a prophet and the Lord gives you a message, and maybe you are looking at the person and you are scared, you think the person, the way I regard them, if I tell this message, A and B will happen. Please, please, speak what the Lord tells you. Doesn't matter what happens. You know, sometimes we want to be too loving, too empathetic, but the Lord wants you to be forthright. Speak what I tell you. So, "I can only speak what the Lord tells me." And when he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall I go to war or shall I not?" And the guy says, "Attack and be victorious, for the Lord will give it into your hands." So even this guy fell for the manipulation. You see, he was a prophet who was sent by the Lord. But looking at the status of the king, he first said, "Go, and you will be victorious." And then the king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And Micaiah answered, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each go home in peace.' And the king said to Jehoshaphat, 'Did I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only the bad things?" And Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing around him, on the right and on the left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, another suggested that. And one spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And by what means, the Lord asked, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of this prophet. I will be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of the prophet. So it's dangerous to only hear information through a third party, because you don't know whether that information is manipulated or whether it is original. So the Lord has given us access to him directly through Jesus. So you can inquire to know. And that's why I always encourage people, if someone tells you this is the message, what I feel, the Lord is saying, pray for a confirmation that you may know whether it is really the Lord or it is the person who is speaking. Because men have fallen for the trap and they regret it at the end of the day. So these were prophets, men of God. But they were speaking lies because they feared the king. They feared telling him the truth. They feared ruining the relationship. And that is what most of us fear. The Lord says you to say MBC, but you fear ruining that relationship. You try to encourage that person. It doesn't help. Doesn't help. The message still stands. So now the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has decreed disaster for you. And Zedekiah, son of Kenan, went up and slapped Micaiah on the face and said, which way did the spirit go from me to speak to you? It's funny. It's funny. So this guy decided he will not, to finish the story, he decided he will not obey the word of the true prophet, but he followed the words of the multitude who were telling him, go. And if you read further, you realize that that's how he perished. He never survived. He never survived. And if you compare the two, this is one king and this is the other one. David always inquired of the Lord. I have a table, and I want us to incline to the David character. He always inquired of the Lord himself. The other guy was using the services of the prophet. He puts on the priestly garment, goes to the altar to pray. The other one summons the prophet to his palace. And this one hears the voice of God and responds to it. The other guy wants to hear a distorted message. The current generation wants to hear a distorted message. The message that is always giving them hope, but doesn't give them a warning. Hearing from God draws us closer to him. Disobeying God leads us to the path of destruction. And when I was praying, I felt that I should pray. We should pray for three groups of people. People who are spiritually blind, deaf, and irresponsive. And the other group is about people who have no experiential knowledge of when God is speaking. And the last group was people who get distracted by other biases and ignore the voice of the Lord. And for the spiritual blindness, I want to read a scripture. It's not long. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 says, When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were around the city. The servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are many than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open the eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and beyond, the mountain with full of horses, chariots of fire around Elisha. So they were attacked in a city. Two people who have been living together, but they seen differently. One guy in the natural self is seeing a great army and fearing for his life. But another person who was spiritually apt can see that the Lord who is on our side is greater than those who are attacking us. And he prays one prayer, "Lord, open his spiritual eyes that he might see." Brothers and sisters, there is more to life than the physical. There is a spiritual part of yourself, which when it's awake, you live in abundance of the glory of God. Because things don't happen just the way they happen. They are controlled in the spirit. So when he opened his eyes, he could see horses and the Lord fighting for them. And then verse 18 says, when the Syrians came down against Elisha, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike them with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. So now he was in control of this man. He says, "Strike them with blindness," and then they are blind. They can't. Then he leads them to the city to be destroyed. So I want you to picture this. Say now it happens in the other way, because there is the godly spiritual realm and there is the satanic spiritual realm, and the same things happens. I will give you a story and don't laugh at us. One day when we were young Christians, we went to preach to a place which was known for demonic operations. And we went there, we were given some chairs to sit. We were three of us. And normally in an African home, you are given something to drink. Even you don't need to ask for a glass of water, they will bring something. Some tea or something, some coffee for you to. And then we took some water. And we slept. Something came upon us and we slept. Literally. So other brethren were looking for us. And we was, I think it is by the mercy of God that we woke up. We slept. And when we woke up, the people who were in the house had already gone. So we are coming to preach and then they give us something and then we sleep. So now you see now the spiritual trick. So you sleep, you don't pass the message. Tell me, if they wanted to manipulate us or harm us, they could have easily harmed us, right? So there's more to life than what we see happening in the physical. And that time, it's the time I started praying that the Lord will open my spiritual eyes that I can see. And when I go to a place and there's a demonic operation, I will sense it. If I go to a place and there is a spiritual, godly presence, I will feel it. If it's dry, I will feel it. So you will. So it's really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. And that's why I said, let experience not be your teacher. It was not a good experience. Let our spiritual man walk up. So he leads them, he manipulated them. And now, when they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Open their eyes that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And they were in the midst of Samaria, the place they never wanted to go. So the king wanted to kill them. So Yeah. And I remember sharing with one brother, and we were talking about the work environment in the Netherlands. You know, in the Netherlands, things are so chilled. If you don't realize it, you don't even realize there's a spiritual realm. Things are so chilled. And he was talking like, he told us like one day, I don't know, someone big, I don't know, CEO or CFO stood up to speak. And he could see the demonic presence in the eyes of the man. So the guys controls the company through demonic presence. So when he stands to speak, everyone is very quiet. You can sense the silence, but he's using demonic powers. So it happens even in the Netherlands. It can happen everywhere. And that second group is non-experiential knowledge of the Lord speaking. And we see a typical example of the boy Samuel. Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was laying down in his place. His eyesight had begun to grow dim. He could not see, was lying down on his place. That is very important. Underline that. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The ark signified the presence of the Lord. This boy was sleeping near that ark. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord said to Samuel again, and the Lord called Samuel, Samuel. And he rose up and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you have called me. And this happened for 3 times. The Lord calls him Samuel, but he doesn't realize it is the Lord who is speaking. So he thinks it is the voice of the priest that is speaking. So he runs to the priest. I am here. Tell me what you are saying. No, I did not call you. Go back to sleep. So he goes back. Then the Lord calls again. He runs to the priest. And the third time, Eli perceived that the Lord was speaking to the boy. Although this guy was blind naturally, but he was spiritually awake. But the important thing I want to underline here is the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he never knew how the Lord normally speaks to him. There's a normal way through which the Lord speaks to you. For me, it's through scripture. The Lord will lay a scripture at that particular moment that is related to that circumstance, and then I will speak. For other people, it's a picture. This image comes up. For other people, it's a song that comes. And when he went back, he responded, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I don't know, something happened to the slide. Sorry. It was until he responded, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I want us to be responding to the voice of God. When he speaks to you, please respond. Please respond. Open up your heart that he may speak to you. And when he said, speak, Lord, the Lord started speaking to him. And you see his life from that moment through his life until he died. He never missed when the Lord spoke to him. The last group, I don't have it on the slide, was those who missed the voice of God because of their own biases. And I also want to look at the life of Samuel. There was a time when the Lord spoke to Samuel and told him, go and anoint a king for me in the house of Jesse. And he went to anoint a king in the house of Jesse. And then when Jesse brought his sons before the king, that he may, before the priest, that he may anoint one of them, the firstborn came. His name was Eliab. You can read in 1 Samuel 16 from verse 6. His name was Eliab. And he looked at him and said, "This is the Lord's anointed." If you read scripture in the book of Samuel, it says the Lord was so much in favor with this guy that none of his words fall to the ground. This was one of the high-ranking priests who could not miss the voice of God. But look what his will, his own judgment, does. He looks at a guy the way he looks, the way he's built, the way he's strong. He says, "This is the one who the Lord wants to anoint." And those biases can happen in our lives. You feel like this is the direction that the Lord is giving, and it is you, not the Lord. And then the Lord says, "Do not look at the outward appearance. I have not chosen him." And he went through to the seventh son. And David, who was a shepherd, who never looked like it, he was not even... It's funny how the father priest, he was asked, "Bring your sons." And then he brings some sons and he leaves one. So he never even thought this was a son. He's there looking at sheep. Said, "Bring him." And the Lord anointed the one who never looked like it. So the Lord works in a way that we can't understand in our own natural man. Let us open our hearts that we may hear from him what he says. And if you fall under one of these categories, you can come here. Renee will be praying. Who else will help? I will also be open with prayer. You can't hear the voice of the Lord because of biases. You have never experienced the Lord speaking to you before. And if you feel that your spiritual man is never awake, you never even realize it. It's not your problem. And don't judge yourself. This was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the word of God, but he missed it. So we can also miss it. It's my prayer that the Lord will help us that we don't miss a chance when he speaks. Please worship him. Shall we stand for prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us today about hearing your voice. The world around us has so many voices that speak. The voice of the internet, the voice of the people around us, the voice of the enemy, and our own biases and judgments. And it's often confusing when you speak. I pray that our spiritual man will be so apt to know that you will open our spiritual ears, that we may hear things that have never been heard, that you will open our spiritual eyes to the things unseen, and our spiritual hearts to the things unperceived. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we will experience you so fully that we will never miss a chance when you speak to us. I pray, Lord, that we will not allow our judgments and biases to become an hindrance to hearing from you. I pray, fill us with your spirit, the knowledge of the word of God, and faith in the name of Jesus. And help us to consecrate our lives and set ourselves apart, that when you speak, Lord, we may pick it. That, Lord, will be instruments that can be used for your work here in church, outside there, even in our own families, our places of work, that we may be instruments that can be used for your work to the glory and honor of your name, in Jesus' name. And before I step down, if you are here and you have never given your life to Christ, we spoke, and say it is through Jesus that the Lord speaks to us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice that we may receive that connection. The Bible says he reconciles us to the Father. You have never accepted Christ as your Savior and you want to give your life to Jesus today. Will you be so kind to lift up your hand that we may pray together? Is there anybody? Nobody. Father, we thank you for those people. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you all the honor because you deserve it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can join us for prayer on the other side.
I am a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hand. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was sin. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a fire. He calls me a soul. You never leave me, no matter where I go. Yes, be when I go. Will hear me when I call. Hear me when I call.
So, Father, we want to thank you for your word which has come to us. We want to thank you that you've given us the privilege to be able to hear your voice and obey your word. It's our prayer that may you be with us throughout the week and continue to remind us of the fact that you speak to us and you hear us when we also speak back to you. So Lord, we thank you. We want to sing the last song, Your Great Name. And we want to talk about the great name of God.
Lost or saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your
grace.
Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name. Your great name.
We come to an end to today's service. Thanks for joining. And we are going to have coffee at the back. So also feel free to join. Thanks for joining. We pray, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word once again. And it's our prayer that may you walk with us, may you talk with us, may you direct us so we can live the life that you want us to live, to reflect your glory in every sphere of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.